So should we tell them really quickly up front what's happening?
Yeah, just a small mini trigger warning that unbeknownst to us came up immediately when we started recording. But there is just some small conversation about conjoined twins, which then led to conversation about baby loss. If that's hard to hear, please fast forward a few minutes. Hi, welcome.
Welcome to the Umcast. My name is Vicky.
And my name is Michelle. And this is the Uncensored Moms podcast, where we come together once a week to connect with you about all things. All things, really, period.
End of sentence.
If you ask us what our niche is, we'd say we don't have one, because we like to talk about everything that you would with your bestie, that you can share anything, say anything, no judgments allowed in this room.
No. No. I've never judged.
And if you're watching the YouTube video, you're going to see how awkwardly I'm sitting right now.
Why are you sitting like that? I'm not awkward.
You know what I look like? And this is going to sound really bad, so cut it if it's very offensive.
Oh, no. I'm actually concerned about your position.
I look like the sister of the Siamese twin sisters, Abigail and
only one
so-and-so that got married. I'm the sister that's
having
on
sex
on the left side. I think she's not the one having sex.
You know, I saw that story come up a lot in my feed, and I decided it wasn't my business. I decided it wasn't my business, and I didn't click on it or read it, and I was like, I literally don't care.
You've known of them since you were little, right? Like, it's always been Abigail and...
No.
You don't remember from your childhood? Okay.
Maybe some.
My mom has, like, followed them closely since they were born.
Why?
Because she had Siamese twins. So she...
In her body?
In her body.
They were Siamese twins.
They were connected at the heart.
Why did you... Have you never told me this?
I definitely have.
No,
Benjamin
this is not-
and Robert, my brothers...
No.
It came out.
This is a news.
By the way, did you know my mom?
Breaking news. Breaking news. This is the Uncensored Mom's breaking news.
Yeah, no. This is why it's so crazy. Because, okay, so she had my oldest brother, Matthew. Then she got pregnant with the twins, Benjamin and Robert. And they were conjoined at the heart. And at around 6 months pregnant, the doctor was like, they're not going to survive outside of you because they're sharing a heart. It's like not going to be strong enough. And so she chose to be induced at 6 months, birthed them, held them for maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes while they were still breathing, and then they died. But the parallel there...
Did they die because they were conjoined or because they were so small?
It could have been a little bit of both, but she's like, everything the doctor said was that they would never be able to be separated because you can't separate a heart, and that the heart would not be strong enough to sustain two bodies. But everything else was completely separated. It was literally just their heart, like chest, connected.
I have reactions, but hold on. The fan cannot be on.
Oh, yeah. Pause.
Okay, I understand that I don't have the best memory in the universe, but...
Here's why I know I have.
No.
Because she lost babies at 6 months. I lost a baby at 5, 6 months. Hers were due to the heart. Mine was due to the heart. We both had to make this decision on like having the baby and or not, like they will not survive. Like basically abortion status for her. Even though they just induced her. They didn't like, you know, they let it happen naturally. But anyway, she was like, I'm glad that I held them. And that's why when I was like, I don't know if I want to see him. I don't know if I want to birth him and see that and have that like trauma in my memory.
I do remember that.
And she was
that.
Like, I'm so glad that I did see them. And I was like, that's your journey. I don't think I can do that.
So I remember.
Sorry to start this conversation.
I did not anticipate it going this way.
Yeah.
But like, I just will say that I remember that part. I don't specifically remember that it was your mother. I remember it being more like someone you know who went through this. But the conjoined twins at the heart, I'm telling you, I never heard that before.
Maybe I just failed to mention that part.
Yeah. Or like, do you think that maybe you were nervous to say that?
No, not at all. I think it's a fun fact.
Wow.
I think it's like a crazy, like,
oh, it's wild.
And like her mom had triplets. So then she had the conjoined twins. That's why when I was pregnant, anytime I got pregnant, I'm like, what if it's like a multiple?
Oh.
Very likely, but it didn't. So she has, it's full circle, been very into Abigail. I feel really bad that I cannot remember the sister's name.
Let's call her Annie. You know what? I'm going to look it up.
Let's do it. Let's look it up.
This is what Google's for. This is when
listeners are screaming at their radios or their phones. Radios.
Abigail and. And then we'll just see what pops up. Brittany?
That's it.
Okay. Brittany.
Look at their photo.
Hensel.
And then tell me if I'm being offensive when I said my posture looked like the sister.
No, I think that's, I think you were right on. Yeah, the one who kind of always has to be to the side, which, yeah, God.
I know.
No fun at
Neck
all.
Neck problems. So they just got married. I shouldn't say they, but I mean, they did.
I mean, they were both there.
But the relationship, to what I believe, is just with one of them.
Wow.
Not the other. But everything else is shared.
Life will find a way.
Like, I think they have one vagina. They
okay,
have
then if there's one vagina, aren't they both having sex?
Right.
My mind, yep. I'm actually having like a brain malfunction. Truly, it's like breaking a little bit.
It's
I haven't been invested in this story at all, and I still feel like it's not my business. Like I don't want to think about their genitals and how life. I just like it's not my business.
Why? We think about other people's genitals all the time.
Not really. Do we?
How often are we talking about porn, my genitals, Werner's genitals, your genitals? Genitals in general.
That's general genitals.
General genitals. These other Siamese twins. I don't even know if they call them Siamese twins or conjoined twins anymore.
I think it said conjoined.
Conjoined, sorry. Maybe, I think Siamese twins is like the old
term.
You're
so racist.
I'm so racist. They're not Oriental. So this other conjoined twins, these two girls, they were like, they did an interview and they're like, it's not our job to educate you on how our bodies work. And I was like,
agreed.
Absolutely. And she's like, it's also not your business who we're in relationships with. But for the last time, basically, like, my sister is in a relationship. I am asexual. I have no interest in being with anyone. There are such things as a curtain. Like they can, you know, like the sister has alone time with...
I don't know why I'm so uncomfortable talking. I'm so
if you guys
uncomfortable
hop over to the YouTube channel, you can see real live responses and physical uncomfortability on
like
Vicky's
it.
Behalf.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it.
What do you think is making you uncomfortable?
I think I
is it that you want to have a specific reaction and you feel like you can't because you're recorded right
no,
now?
No, I truly am like very avoidant of this. Like, okay, it's kind of similar to where I had a friend once years ago who was telling me very specific things about their sex life. And I went inside of my house afterwards and almost threw up.
Wait, say the first part again.
So a friend of mine, this is when I was probably like in my early 20s, was like telling me kind of like vivid details about like a sexual encounter.
Yeah.
It was so much information for me that I was like, I felt physically ill.
You thought you were going to throw up.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to know.
Well, you need to share what these details are.
No,
not even one little example of what made you squeamish.
I think like I don't like
slowly.
Oh God. I don't
the
like
center of my core. And he could.
No,
taste,
stop. You need to stop.
Is that what's grossing
you? No. It doesn't gross me out. Like in the same way that I don't really like PDA, and I really don't. I don't like to see it. I think it's gross. Like I don't like in general talking about sex is not offensive. Like doesn't bother me. But like if you started to like truly retell like the intimacies of your bed, yeah, I don't.
You're
think
just like
I'd
I don't
know
need
that.
To be there. You're like
really
I don't need to live that through your eyes because you lived it. Behind closed doors.
I don't want to. Yeah. Fine. I just, and like,
I never knew this about you.
Yeah. I also like,
it makes me rethink sharing anything sexually with you.
But you haven't done that.
Really?
It's different. Like
when I talk about anal sex, that's not like TMI to you.
No, it's different because it's not, that is it's a term and it's an action, but it's not like, so the other night,
it's not like, and then Werner
yeah,
took
like
his thumb.
Yeah, kind of, right? I mean, like, even if you tried to, like, I mean, if you sat here and tried to, like, retell the actual ins and outs and, like, every moment of a sexual thing, you think that'd be, like, you would be totally fine with that?
I wonder if it's a similar feeling to how I feel when Werner records something of us sexually and then he pulls it up later to look at it and shows me, and I go, I don't want to see that. I don't want to live it again. I already lived it in my head and it was much prettier in my head to now be involved in this aspect. I don't want to. Is it? I wonder if it's similar.
I'm guessing it is very similar. There's something like the idea of it, the knowing of it, the understanding of it, like, great. But to see it and to get like a walkthrough of everything.
Would it help if the person that was telling you was like super hot and their partner was super hot?
No. Like, I don't like, I think it's something that comes up in my head a lot too. When people are like talking about the trans thing, like, well, what kind of genitals do they have? Like, to me, it's such a weird question. Like, why do you care what's in people's underwear? Right. And then also when, like when people talk about sex, like, I'm never, ever, ever, and I know we talk about sex a lot, but I'm never imagining it or picturing it in my head. Never.
It's just
and
like factual.
I do not want to imagine my friends or anyone I know having sex. I would rather die.
Yeah. I think that would be strange if we're like,
I am not actually picturing you do it. I just know that it happens.
Picture it right now.
No.
Last night on my couch. So when it started.
Stop.
Okay. Hopped on top. Hopped on pop.
Hop on pop. Pop on top.
Okay. I need to hear from everybody else if that's like a similar.
It doesn't bother you at all. You're not feeling like this.
No. Such. I mean, I agree with you. Look at my here.
Oh, I think your subconscious is stepping in here.
Anytime I get that sound, Werner's like, stops me mid-sentence, like, I need you to clear your throat. Like, it's like nails on a chalkboard tone.
Oh, interesting. I kind of like a raspy voice.
No, I mean, I think I'm similar to you that, like, I don't want to picture our friends actually having sex, but I definitely want to talk about sex all the time with friends. Like, tell me about that. Like, I don't need to know the details or think about it in my head, like you said.
I think you're the same.
Yeah.
But I think, like, and so talking about this conjoined situation where, like, imagine a sheet and imagine my shared vagina that I don't think about. I mean, I don't want to. I'm sorry. I don't want to.
That's probably very healthy and normal of you. And I bet most other humans could learn a thing or two from that and not be so nosy.
So nosy.
Super nosy.
What gets you off? Who cares?
And if you see that in comments, you see like comment wars on things like this, and some people are like in the camp of like, it's none of your business. And then other people are like, we're just curious.
Ew. Get a fucking life to them, I say.
Or just go Google on your own time and don't bother them in their own comments.
Yeah. Go into your porn sites and search fantasy.
Ooh, there you go.
And think about whatever you want.
Fantasy weirdos. Conjoined twins. Now you can see up close and personal if they choose to video themselves and put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
What it looks like.
Yep.
Anyway,
welcome to the show.
Bet you weren't thinking hope the podcast would start with that.
Hope there are no kids
in
the car. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. Anytime I upload our video on YouTube, it always says, is this suitable for kids? And it is always no.
The answer is usually no. I think that should we have an episode that is, that will be the first thing we say and put in the title, like, this one's for kids.
There is one episode that we recorded with the kids.
Yeah, that was a fun one. So you and your children can listen to that together.
Oh, I think we're just going to have to accept that my throat's going to be this way.
Are you sick?
No.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Just extra phlegmy.
I'm just super phlegmy today. Call me phlegm.
Call me phlegm.
Okay. So one of the things that we try to do, you know, we really do endeavor to like have a goal here, you know,
we do.
But then like just
tangents happen.
Just, yeah. But one of the things that I wrote down that I wanted to talk about with you was this fear, this feeling that I felt recently when so my kids came home with their report cards and they were both excellent report cards. And they also took like that state testing where it shows you like where you are. Your percentile, right? So I was very proud of them and happy for them. And I was like, I'm going to share this. Mm-hmm. But then I stopped myself from sharing it, and I never did. And I don't know why. I think that, you know, I was like, oh, will I be seen as bragging? Does it make other people feel bad? What is the real motivation behind my wanting to share? Why am I actually doing this? And then mm-hmm. I just didn't do it. Because I was like, look, it's enough for me to know. I can tell my mom. I can tell my family on our family thread, which I don't even think that I did. Because even in that case, I'm like, I don't want my sister or brother, or should they ever have to like, I don't want to compare children, I think
that's what it is. Because, you want to share because you're super proud of your kids. And like, they're growing and learning and turning into their own humans. And they're doing things outside of the family. And they're excelling. Right. And that's exciting to see. So totally. You're super proud. But I totally get like, you don't want anyone else to feel bad if their kids are also not excelling.
Yeah.
And...
well, like, I mean, it literally tells you like, oh, like you are, you know, in this case, like in the 100th percentile for math and reading and for the country.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like you're like that much better. 99%
of kids are not as good as you. Okay. And that's so whatever.
It's really cool to see your kid. Like I have that with Rome, and it's like, awesome. Great.
Good for you.
But yeah, no, not everyone is there. And also like, I didn't do anything to have him be that 99th percentile or whatever. That's just on him. Like he's smart.
I mean, that's not necessarily true. I mean, I think that, you know, kids that have all their needs met, kids that get a lot of communication, kids that are surrounded by books, kids that get help with their homework. I mean, there are definitely things
but
that
I
we
also
are
don't
doing.
Want it to come across as like, look at my kid. Aren't I amazing? Because I have this smart child. When it's like, I also have another kid that's not the 99th. And
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess. So you're on the same page.
I am.
You wouldn't share like,
but coming from a friend that it's not my kids, I'm offering the perspective of like, you should share, be proud.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, if you shared it, I would be like, go Rome, you know? But I guess more it was just like, what is this like? Where are these nerves coming from? Are they just based on like external perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Like the judgment that could potentially come? Or is it like, more just like kind of like an empathy where it's like, I don't, you know, I just, it's no one else's business, I guess. I don't know. A lot of not my business situations today.
Yeah. I don't know either. Or maybe it's like, it's not all about that.
Yeah, like it's, you know, not like there's other tell facets everything.
Of it. Yeah, and it's like grades are cool. That's like great that you're doing well in school, but like I would rather highlight like all these other great things that you're doing. I don't know.
Well, and then it leads me to go down this path of like, why do I share anything about my kids? Right? Like like that they're their own people. Mm-hmm. And on social media is pretty stupid anyway, so it's like, you know, why am I, what is my impetus? Like, you know, like, and then, so that's literally what happens in my head is like, I have this impulse to share. And then mm-hmm. I think for a second, I'm like, I don't know if I need to do that. And then when something else comes up, like, I think it was like a sporting thing and it was like a really good, goal. And I was like, I had a little video of it. It was pretty great. And then I was like, why am I sharing that? You know, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it just starts to extend to a lot of things. And I wonder
if you're more sensitive to those thoughts because of just, you know, linking it to your EMDR targets of making yourself smaller, not taking up more space than you should.
Yeah, I think you're probably, that part of it is that like I was through the traumas that I experienced in middle school and in like just my parent, like I think like, you know, the things that I kind of internalized growing up that like, yeah, be quiet. Nobody wants to hear about you. You know, don't be too confident. Mm-hmm. Don't be too proud of yourself because people will want to take you out. Right.
Yeah. But we've worked through those traumas. We've reprocessed.
Yeah. But it's not me.
Right. So even it's more my, so. No, you're proud of my kids.
No, I know. But it's like.
But it's like, not, why does anyone need to know?
Kind no, it's of thing? Not my story. It's their story. You know, like, I'm like.
But you're their mother and they are your children. So that it's your story in that they're your kids.
Yeah.
You know, just because they're their own people doesn't mean you can't have your own story as a mother and proud of your kids.
Yeah, no, I know. And the story exists. It's real. But like, why, you know, that when it comes to like actually sharing it mm-hmm. with the public, you know, it's, I just think it's something to think about. Like, why do I?
It is. I mean, I know? Think there's like a whole huge thing of like sharing anything about your kids. And yeah. you have like the celebrities that never share a picture or anything at all of their kids' faces. And then you have the other celebrities that are like, they don't care. Like, I just think that's like two camps.
It's just like what feels comfortable to
you. Right. Cause it's yeah. like, I, you know, they're not old enough to give me consent and permission to be posting their photos, which I totally get that. Also like safety, like why am I posting their pictures and millions of people, who knows what they're going to do with those photos?
Yeah.
Totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously I post a lot on Instagram and my kids are a part of a lot of it. So I've gone back and forth with those two camps of like, how much do I share? Why am I sharing? And like, to me, it just comes down to like the things that I share, I do because it's what I hope is relatable content mm-hmm. and it connects with other moms who are going through the same things. And so it sparks conversation of like, me too, or like that's,
yeah,
you know, the whole purpose of my personal account and what I'm sharing. But I have had to be very like careful as my account's growing more on who's following me and what specific things I'm posting.
Like if you're like, if Shay's like in underwear,
a shirt. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely more like conscious of that.
And so I guess probably say with the boys too.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if Rome now knows if I'm recording something or posting something. And so he's definitely set a time or two, like, don't post that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just was, this is nothing that had to do with my idea, this whole grade thing. But, just yesterday I heard a podcast about this New York Times thing where they did this like really deep dive into like, parents who actually like, you know, they run their children's accounts mm-hmm. and they're like cheerleaders or they're gymnasts mm-hmm. or they're, you know, and so they're these young girls who are like, kind of sexualized in the mm-hmm. way that they're wearing makeup and they're wearing, you know, you know, uniforms that are very form fitting, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they should be allowed to do that, but because they can't control the creeps mm-hmm. and all the gross dudes who come into their DMs and like just want more pictures or they're just like replying yeah. with like a heart or a smiley face. Like it's so disgusting, honestly. And so it was just a discussion about that. Your thoughts reminded me of it. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not like, I'm not thinking about other parents or like, I'm never thinking about what you post when I'm having like these like, mm-hmm. you know, wavering feelings when I'm posting. I'm just thinking about like what feels comfortable to me in that moment. You
yeah.
know?
Well, I do notice that when you post your kids, you use the
close friends. Yeah.
And that's intentional.
Totally.
Because you don't want the whole world wide web to be seeing your kids' faces.
Yeah. Like I like that I can share stuff with friends and family that I actually know in real life, mm-hmm. Versus people I don't know. Cause like if my account is public, anyone can follow me. And mm-hmm. a lot of the people that follow me, they come and go, but they're just like, they're definitely not.
You don't know who they are.
No, yeah. they're just random people. And so they don't need to know, you know, where my kid goes to school
exactly, yeah.
or what my kid is doing at all. They don't need mm-hmm. to know. They yeah. really don't. So I think that's, I've changed to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But even like if I had posted the grade thing, it would have been to close friends.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And you still had the hesitation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, because I guess like, yeah, I think you're probably more on the, when you said like, it's not the whole picture. Like, this is just one thing that came up and happened. And it was really like, it makes them feel good. It makes me feel like, cool. They're focused in school. They're, you know, paying attention. But you know, it's one moment, it's one grade, mm-hmm. it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not who they are, I guess.
Curious what y'all's thoughts are. Call in. Or we don't call in anymore.
You can call in.
We do? Our Google number still?
No, but that's how you get... Oh, you mean like you can't... there's not a phone number.
It's just a link. We no longer have the phone number.
There's no phone number.
I don't think we've ever like officially broadcast that.
I think we did.
We said
that
like
it expired
briefly, but we never like said if we reinstated it or not.
No, because once it's gone, it's like you can't even get the same number. It's so stupid. But okay, yeah.
So the way to call in now and leave a voice message, which I know is sometimes easier, is you can either A, slide into our DMs at the UmCast and do a recorded voice message there, or
you can go on to the UmCast/AskTheUmCast. And it has a little button there you can press and you can record a message. You can also send it an email, which mm-hmm. is on that same page, or you can actually send an actual email, and our email is theumcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. But curious what other parents and moms are thinking.
Yeah. Am I alone?
You're definitely not. If there's one thing you listeners should take from this podcast is that no one is ever alone. In any thought, random or not, it's probably not as random as you think.
That's true. Very, very true. Which leads me to some appreciation for the calls that we got on last week's episode. And one specifically was about Brian's fear of drive-thrus. Yeah. And we had a call where she was like, okay, I did not know this was a thing, but I too have always had major anxiety about coming up to drive-thrus. And when you posted that on Instagram and there was a poll, mm-hmm. most people agreed with Brian
saying, be ready. Well, I mean, I just feel like, yes, that's probably the most courteous thing to do. But I think there is the extreme camp of having the anxiety of it. And like this caller was also like, I've even a time or two looked at the menu ahead of time for a drive-through.
Yeah.
And to that, I'm like, they can wait a little bit while you're scanning the menu.
Yeah. I have no concern, not in a mean way, but like, I'm just like, hi, I came to your window. I'm going to look at the menu now and I'll let you know when I know what I want. Thank you.
I'm not going to be for 15 minutes absolutely staring not at the
thing. Like, I have a vague idea of what I want. Let me just confirm. Like, do you have any specials today that I didn't know were going to be there? Oh my gosh, do you have a new dessert? And like, honestly, sometimes I'll be like, so can you tell me what's on that burger? Like, I'm for real just having conversations with them.
And you know what? That's their job. Their job is to handle all inquiries when it comes to ordering food.
Sometimes I think, I'm like, are the people behind me listening to my order? Like, roll up your window. Get out of here.
I know. That's probably where I feel like more like self-conscious is like people around me.
I don't feel self-conscious at all, but I do think about it. And I'm like, I'm like, fine, copy my order. This is what I'm ordering, by the way. And then I get louder.
By the way, if you ever go through like a Starbucks drive-thru, have you ever had where the person like paid for you? The person in front of you?
Only one time. And let me just tell you this fun story. This a-hole. Okay. It was like a long line. And you know how, like, if you're at a driveway, sometimes you have to like leave a space for people to come and go, but then someone will come from the opposite way and then just cut right in front of you, even though there's like 10 people behind me still. Right. It's so rude. And they did that. There was a whole long line. I was being polite by letting a drive-through have access still. And that, so there was a space between me and the person behind in front of me, and they just came from the opposite side and pulled right in. Okay. Good. And I was like, I was pissed, and I was telling them I was pissed through my windshield. Like, I was like, are you like the hands and the face, whatever. Right. And they're not doing anything. Then when I get up to the thing,
they paid for you,
they paid for me. And then they waited to see that I saw that they had paid
waited
for me. And I was like, ugh. And then they look in their mirror, they're like, you're welcome. Like, bitches. It was actually a dude, but I was like, which a dude can be a bitch, but I was like, you know what?
I don't want your free food.
I was pissed. It pissed me off. The whole thing pissed me off. I was like, I can afford a $3
because
coffee.
His intention,
a long time ago.
If he had looked at you and been like, I'm so sorry, I covered your food. Like,
different,
way different, different than, you're welcome.
Like, laughing.
Don't
you're
be a
welcome
bitch next time.
1,000%. Yeah, it was that. It was like, oh, aren't you so glad? I wish I'd ordered more. I wish I'd been ordering for like the whole PTA and brought back like her ass of coffee. If you ordered
$50 worth of food. Oh,
they wouldn't have done it. They would have been like, oh, never mind. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yes. So what was the thing? Oh, Starbucks. You started this.
I mean, I think we've talked about this before and it's happened a couple of times and it's like, okay, I guess I'll pay for the one behind me.
Oh, like you keep it going.
Yeah. But then
I don't,
I've heard from an article that they're like,
they don't like it.
It's actually annoying. Is not great to do that.
Yeah.
And to pay it forward, just since your food was free, give the Starbucks person extra tip.
Yeah.
Like, and then stop it. Stop the cycle.
Do not do it. Don't pay it forward, please.
This is really random, but it just came to my head. So, you know, pretty on par with
weird.
It's weird. Podcast here. Remember that book we read, The Measure?
I do.
That book will forever be with my life. Like, it'll just forever be an impact on my life.
You still think of like when something, like, did you think like, oh, that was OJ's string? Oh,
I do. I kind of do. Yeah. Like 76. Wow. Like my father-in-law is 78. He outlived OJ Simpson.
And thank goodness.
And like OJ going through all the trials, little did he know that he was going to die at 76 of cancer. Like you just never know when the end of your string is. If you haven't read the book, The Measure, it's really good. It's basically like everyone in the world one day wakes up with this box and inside the box is a string. And depending on how short or long your string is, that's the measure of your life from start to finish.
We also did a podcast on that book. So if you read it and you want to hear a little discussion about it, go find that.
So anyway, in the last probably month, maybe 2 months.
Okay.
I have had, I want to say, 3 separate calls from Werner going, oh my God, I almost just got hit by a car. Like he's
walking?
He's driving his car. So one example was he was driving, fully paying attention, not on his phone, and another car in the opposite direction goes over the median in the middle and is coming straight for his passenger corner side. Not passenger, his driver's side, straight towards Werner's driver's side.
Uh-huh.
And Werner had to swerve out of the way so fast. Fortunately, there's no other car on Werner's other side, so he was able to swerve out of the way. And then that car just like, I don't know if they lost control. I don't know if they were intoxicated, whatever. But he like narrowly missed being head-on collision almost.
Hate that.
I was like, oh my God. And then he called just last weekend on his way to the airport. And he was almost to the airport and he calls me. He's like, oh my God, I almost got hit again. And someone was like missed their turn and made a sharp left across traffic. That car got hit by another car, bounced them back towards Werner. Werner had a swerve again out of the way. It kind of brushed his bumper. So there is a scratch, but no dent. Brushed it. And Werner looked at the watch. He's like, if I get on my car right now, I'm going to miss my flight. So he's like, I got to go. He just left. He's like, I got to go.
Yeah.
And then there was a third one and I can't remember what it was, but he's like literally almost got hit again. And I'm like, it made me think of The Measure and like, it's not your time to die, I guess, or the universe is trying to kill you. I don't know, via car accident, but
so scary.
What is happening?
I don't know. I think it's so scary. I'm always thinking about things like that when I'm driving, like the amount of trust we put in complete strangers, like just a yellow line. Just a small yellow line. Like, cause I just think like that is the only thing that's like making us go like just the road.
And we have
road
to trust that everyone's going to follow the rules.
Yeah. Road rules are just so like,
and not be on their phone.
Fingers crossed. Oh my gosh, dude. And and nowadays everyone's running red lights.
Oh,
everyone's
yeah.
just
oh,
like,
that was another one. Someone ran a red light, almost T-boned him.
Yeah. You like when a light turns green, you cannot just go. You have to pause and wait
you
and look.
You have to. And
it's
just,
so bad.
And then when you're in those situations, you're thinking like, what if I left 30 seconds earlier?
Right.
What if, you know, like all the dominoes and
sliding doors that
yeah. brought you to this exact moment.
Yeah. It's very overwhelming if you like really think about it. I'm glad they've been close calls and not actual things, but I hope, you know, he needs to really pay attention.
Okay. We got to talk about summer break coming up, vacations. I had a friend last night. I was in the car with 2 PTO moms. We went to this board meeting thing and one of the PTO moms was like, got to get ready for my suit. And I was like, I literally, in my head, I was like, suit? I was thinking like a suit, button like up a business suit? Where's she going for a tuxedo?
Going on a work trip?
And I go, a suit? What suit? And she's like, bathing suit. It's almost like summer bathing suit season. I got to get ready for my suit. And then I was just like, oh, and I was just kind of like laughing. But in my head, I'm thinking like, this is a real focus for so many women that it's like, okay, I have to get summer ready or I have to get vacation ready. And I certainly am not saying that I've never, you know, not been in that camp. Like I have, we've got our Palm Springs trip coming up and I'm going to Vegas where I will be at a pool. And it's certainly in my head of like, all right, I'm just going to like eat a little healthier. I'm going to like work out a little more so that I can feel like a little more extra confident in my bathing suit. But it's like, why?
Yeah, why? I don't like it.
I know, but it's like so ingrained.
No, it really is ingrained. It is definitely an impulse and a thought that I have to fight all the time. And it's not just vacations. I mean, it's literally like, well, one day when I don't look like this, mm-hmm. one day when my body looks like something I want it to, like, ugh, my body. And it's like,
that's your body.
It's your body.
And it's your body right now.
It's always been your body. Mm-hmm. It takes you places. It helps you eat and sleep and poop and mm-hmm. walk. And like, it's such a glorious thing. Like at what point do we love our bodies? At what point, like, shouldn't we just fucking love our bodies?
Right. We're like late 30s, early 40s. And if we haven't learned to love our bodies yet, then it's not like you wake up magically at 51 and go, ah, now I've gotten to where I want to be.
And all of the years before.
Wasted. Wasted thoughts.
Yeah.
When no one looks back on a vacation or a beach trip or a pool day and ever thinks about what their friend looked like or remember that random stranger and what they looked like in their bathing suit. Like no one.
Don't care.
You don't even really. Like I think back to our Mexico trip.
Yeah.
I just think like we had a lot of fun. I went swimming in the ocean and like.
Yeah. It's just not interesting. You know, like a body is not interesting. What's interesting is how you live your life inside of that body. And like, if we are constantly waiting for the good time, waiting for when it's better, like, what are we doing? Like it's good right now. It's good mm-hmm. right now. And you don't have to get a body ready for summer or for your next vacation or for that party you're going to, because it doesn't matter. And if you're so concerned about the way you look all the time, I think that it detracts so much from our energy that could be put elsewhere. Like, you know, being interested in our friends, getting to do a hobby that we really like all of the energy that we put onto how we appear in the world could be used towards something that like genuinely benefits us. Mm-hmm. Brings us actual joy, regardless of how much you weigh or what stupid size you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me crazy. Brian actually the other day was like, oh, like, you know, I can tell that like my shoulders and my arms are getting like bigger, you know, because he's been working out. He's like, just got to get rid of this gut. And I was like, honestly, dude, I'm like, I hate when you say that. Mm-hmm. Of the two of us, he's definitely the bigger culprit of mm-hmm. this fear and this obsession. Like, I'm like, there's not been one time in our relationship where I have ever looked at you and thought, you're gross right now.
Right.
Like, I always think you're beautiful. I always think that you're attractive. I don't even care what you're like. When I look back at pictures, like, I'll be like, oh gosh, I was so fat then. Or there are pictures, even I will look back and go like, man, I'll say something mean about myself, you know, but in that moment, we're still doing so many fun things and making so many life mm-hmm. memories that like, that's just hardly important.
I know. And yet it's like so consuming of our minds.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah. I don't like it.
I know. How do we stop it?
I don't know.
Stop it. Just stop it right now.
Stop. Hit your hand. Stop it. Stop.
Side note, I don't think this little microphone's going to work since I didn't turn it on. I don't even think you're wearing yours.
I turned mine on. It's just clicked onto my microphone. It's going to be me really loud and you really quiet. Darn it.
It's okay. You know what? The camera's closer. The camera is closer today.
Is it?
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, we try.
Next week's going to be perfect. Next week we've got technology on point.
We're sure of it. Okay, so you sent me a reel this last week, and the author of the reel has since deleted it, but I'm very curious to know what it was.
And I was like, don't listen to it until we are recording.
Yeah. And then something, do you even remember? If you don't remember, we don't have to talk about it.
I mean, okay.
Is it worth talking about?
So it's this former blogger. Her name's Sydney Leanne. Former Mormon as well. I don't think she identifies as Mormon anymore, but she's definitely religious. She's like morphed into more like spirituality and like God within and divine power. And most recently has been exploring, I guess she said it's been a 4-year journey, but now she's ready to talk about it.
Great. And I'm ready to listen.
Great. About just feminine power and being in tune with your sexuality. And okay, I'm kind of remembering now what the specific video was about, which I thought was interesting that she's deleted it. But she was saying like women who feel like they have chaos in their household and chaos in their relationship are the women who are not prioritizing sex with their partner or husband. But women who prioritize their own sexuality and connecting with their partner, connecting with their husband, making it a priority to have sex and have it often, but also like owning what you need from sex, getting what you need from sex, you are now creating a calmer space for your household and children.
Yeah.
And that it's not selfish. You have such a skeptical look on your face.
I'm just listening. I'm just listening. But I have thoughts, but I'm just listening.
So she's basically saying like super encouraging, like it's not selfish to focus on your sexual relationship with your partner and to prioritize that, because if you prioritize that, then everything else can be calmer and less chaotic.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, I guess my face was thinking, that's probably a good message for her community.
Mm.
Her followers are, I'm guessing, many Mormon or religious or potentially, you know, repressed women in that mm-hmm. area where sex is seen as like maybe something for the husband or something, mm-hmm. not for them, which is like a bananas.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess.
But see, I don't even think it's just them in that community. Like I was just talking to my friend and she was like, you are a unicorn to me when it comes to having sex with your husband. She's like, all my friends, they never have sex, including her. She's like, rarely have sex, rarely even want to have sex. It's more like an obligation. One of her friends was like, we only have sex to make babies. And well, now that I'm doing IVF, like laughed about it. Like, we never have sex. Ha ha ha. One other friend is like, oh yeah, my husband and I sleep in separate beds every night. Like one's with one kid, one's with the other kid. Like we never have sex. I don't want to have sex. He always wants to have sex. I don't want to have sex. And then like the friend I was talking to, it's always like this joke of like, man, Werner is lucky because Chris tries to have sex all the time. And like, I always joke holidays and birthdays. I mean, she has sex more, but
like for real, like she will say no.
She'll say no. She'll do it out of obligation. She'll do it if she had enough drinks. Like it's never her that wants to or initiates. And she's like, so she's always just like, Werner's so lucky because you want to have sex all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I want my reaction to this specific reel. I guess I'm being biased in that I assume people who listen to us don't also follow her,
mm-hmm.
but maybe I'm wrong. Like, I don't really know just cause I don't follow her. I guess I was just like thinking like her Mormon community where she comes from and her like kind of growth out of what that has, what it, you know, how she's evolved.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an important conversation for her community. That's not to say that I don't think it's an important conversation to be had everywhere. Mm-hmm. I guess I was just thinking of like her as the author necessarily. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess if I'm being an asshole, which I am often, it's like, duh, you know, mm-hmm. like my reaction to that is like, well, no shit.
Yeah.
But you're right. This is very important.
Because to us though, sex is important. Very. Sex is enjoyable.
Yes.
We like to have sex, but I mean,
you're saying a lot of people do not.
I think a lot of women don't.
Okay. Yeah. This makes me think, should I be talking about sex with my friends more often in real life? Because like,
probably.
And then if that's the case, how does one encourage friends to have the sex that will then bring them the
joy,
the peace of mind, the relief.
I mean, they have to like break out of their shell and know that it's okay to ask for what you want and to.
But do they know what they want if they're not having sex?
Right. But they have to be like open to being vulnerable enough to figuring that out with your partner or figure that out on your own and then share that with your partner.
Right. But you're saying that they don't even want to.
Right.
So the question is, why don't they want to? Is it because their husbands are assholes? Is it because they feel insecure about their body? Is it because they've never had an orgasm, so they don't know it's supposed to feel good? Right.
I mean, lots of those things.
All of the above, you're saying.
I mean, maybe not necessarily like their husband's an asshole, but probably like...
That's very generous of you.
When I'm thinking about my friends specifically, I'm like, I don't think their husbands are assholes. Oh. I think it's just like insecurity with their body. A lot of like...
Which again, like, and this is on the same thing of that we were talking about before with like the vacation body. Like, I promise you, your naked body is sexy to your husband.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how many stretch marks you have. Doesn't matter where they are. Doesn't matter how big your ass is. Doesn't matter how small your boobs are. I don't know what you're worried about, right? Everyone has different like mm-hmm. things. I promise you, your body turns your partner on.
Yep.
And it just does.
All the things that are jiggling, they like to see that jiggle. Okay. Yes. They like to grab onto that and squeeze it.
Yeah. Or like, oh, I'm too thin. Let's go the opposite way. Right. Like, oh, like I'm not sexy enough. I have no curves. I have no hips. Okay. Let's go that way too. Like, I promise you, like
you are a sensual, sexual being with, you know, all vagina insides feel the same.
And we're all the same. Look, your vagina is just a vagina. All right. Get over it. But also like when a woman shows a man who is not an asshole, that they are enjoying it and that they want it and that they're like loving it, that is so exciting for yes. them. Like for you to be open with like your wanting and your enjoyment and your like be loud if you can be, if you find yourself in a place where you can be, or like move your body in a way that feels good. It's like, see if that like, you know, it's like, doesn't have to be the same thing every time right. because that's boring. And like, go quiet, like go inside of yourself and just like be in the moment. Stop thinking.
Yeah. That's another thing I was going to say is like, so many moms have that stereotypical, like thinking about their giant to-do list, thinking about the kids, what are they doing? It has to be the perfect setup in order for me to feel relaxed and comfortable in this moment. And we have to be able to, life is always going to be busy.
Always.
So you have to be able to, like she said, prioritize yourself in this moment. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just like in such a better mood when I've had an orgasm and just can go about whatever busyness life is.
It's honestly essential. Like Brian has been sick for the past almost 2 weeks and I get really sick when I'm sick. So we kiss every single day mm-hmm. and we have not kissed for 2 weeks because I don't want to get sick. Like his throat, he's actually just like really not good.
Really?
Yeah. He needs to go to the doctor. That's beside the point. Okay. But I'm like, I can't get sick. I don't want to get sick. Mm-hmm. And so we have not kissed, hence obviously not have had sex. And
for 2 weeks,
dude,
you must be so cranky.
We talked about this last night. He's like, well, I know why. Like, I'm not okay. I'm kind of mean.
Yeah.
And he's getting mean too now because we're just like on edge. Yes. And like, you need that relief. I cannot imagine
just living that on the
daily. Where you're holding all of these things that have not been released through literal bodily function. A part of being a human is having an orgasm.
Yeah. And that's her whole premise now. And what she's trying to teach is that orgasms
are essential. I don't care about her. Okay. I really just don't even care about her, because we don't need her to teach it. We are teaching it.
Right. Like, but I'm saying that's teaching the whole point of why I brought up the reel.
No, I get it. I understand that. You sent it to me because you agreed with her.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Like, it is essential to have orgasms. It is how our bodies were made.
When your friends tell you this, is the next question, do you at least masturbate?
I have asked that, and she's like, no.
So they're not getting off in any way.
I don't think so. I mean, I can't speak to like her friends. Maybe they are. I have a feeling if they are, it's very rare. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting upset. I feel so frustrated, sexually frustrated for them in this moment. Like, and it is a societal thing. Like, it is this kind of like, what is the Protestant, you know, way of like having shame about your body, having shame about sex,
and like
having
shame about wanting. We're here to service men. We're here to satisfy the husband, and like we need throw all of that out the window.
Yes.
Like, sure, Werner's lucky, quote unquote. How about I'm lucky too? Because I want sex and get sex when I want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like even that sentence is like proof of how we've been trained to think like men always want sex. We're here. Men are always just trying to get sex from us girls. Like, ugh, fight the men off. And it's like,
gross. It's gross.
Women really like to have sex too.
I was reading a book. Was it our book? I don't know. I was reading a book just very recently, but I don't remember what I read or where it came from, but it was this character who like was, or maybe it was an article that she had a boyfriend in high school. Yeah. It was a New Yorker article, and he was horrible, but she didn't know that sex was supposed to feel good. She didn't know that sex wasn't supposed to be like this kind of horrible experience where he's kind of mean, because he would say like, everyone likes it like this. You're the only one who doesn't. And like, basically it had never felt good for her whole, you know, high school, college career, because she had this boyfriend. And then she started talking about it with people, and they were like, wait, that guy's what? Like, that's not how it's supposed to be at all. And then she kind of started to find out that like sex is actually enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But like, even reading that, and that's a very, you know, modern day experience, it seems, not in that people are, you know, having physically painful sex, but just that like, it shouldn't be enjoyable for the woman too.
Mm-hmm.
It comes up all the time. And so it's like all it makes me want to do is like, get some kind of like teaching credential in sexual education and like, just never stop talking about it. Like literally never stop talking about it.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's just so frustrating to me. I don't know. I don't know the solution, because if we've already, like if women are internalizing and have decided they don't want to, well, it's not him. He wants to, but I actually don't want to. I don't enjoy it. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're asexual, okay, that's different, you know, like Brittany,
right.
Hensel. But if, you know, I would guess that most people are not.
Right.
That you still get pleasure out of some kind of touch.
Right.
Attention.
Mm-hmm.
Holding.
I don't know.
Gosh, this is a real downer.
I mean,
or a little sad.
Motivating and inspirational.
That's right.
To go explore your body this weekend. Tonight. Doesn't have to. Don't wait.
Right
now.
Do
it right now.
Right.
Stop. Turn this podcast on.
Get off your phone.
Lock your door.
Go into your bathroom.
Go into your bathtub.
Ooh, bathtub. Yeah. Water helps.
Yeah.
Dude.
Okay. What are you loving? Let's talk about something that you're really loving besides sex.
Well, I would love some sex.
I
would really love some sex.
Here's the thing. You're sleeping in the same bed with each other, right?
Yeah.
If you were going to get sick, you would have already gotten sick.
Do you think he's not contagious anymore?
No, not if it's been 2 weeks. So okay, I think you're...
I will say hacking in my face sex doesn't sound like my favorite thing.
Then, like, turn the other way.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just...
Or some mutual masturbation. How about that?
No, there... I mean, there are ways to do it, but I really enjoy, like...
You want to feel him on you.
And, like, kissing and the whole thing. Like, you know, I'm just saying, like, I just want a nice experience. Hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. My point in that was just that, like... It does build up. I think that it does affect us when we are not having 100%. Orgasms in ways that we don't even know.
We get cranky too. And he's like, I know why we're cranky. And then I'll be like, it's not that. And then we'll have sex. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It was that.
He's like, always, I know. It's always that. Okay. What am I loving? Okay. Okay. All right. Lots of things. So many things.
So many things. I can't even pick one. I just.
No, which do I choose? Which one could I choose?
Can I tell you
short episode? Okay. Why don't you tell me what you're loving?
57 minutes is a short episode.
I don't know. I haven't eaten today.
You're a little crank.
I'm a little, well, I haven't had sex.
She hasn't had sex and she hasn't eaten.
I haven't eaten and two I worked out.
Things. Ugh, your blood sugar is dropping.
It really is.
Get this girl a croissant. Okay.
I do love a croissant.
I'm going to tell you.
Do you have something?
I do. I got some. So when I got a facial the last time, I was talking to my esthetician and she was telling me about one of her clients who has the most beautiful skin, like not just her face, but like her actual skin on her body. And she has sworn by using 100% cold pressed argan oil instead of like lotion. Mm-hmm. And so the esthetician was like, don't go get anything fancy. If it just says 100% cold pressed, you can get on Amazon. Like any of them will work. So I bought a bottle. I think it was like $15. And I've been using that instead of lotion. And I've been enjoying it. I'm putting it on my chest, especially at night and in the morning. Because usually like I'm a side sleeper and I've been noticing like the lines on my chest. And so I'm really trying not to sleep on my side. So I'm like awkwardly trying to fall asleep on my back when I never sleep on my back. But I'm like, think about the wrinkles. But I've been moisturizing and hydrating more. And I feel like that's been helping.
I'm also a side sleeper. I don't think I could ever sleep another way. Honestly, it's just too hard.
When I am on my side, I try to at least move my top shoulder back a little to open up my chest while I'm on my side.
These are things I never think about.
I know. It's because I think about my wrinkles more than you do.
You do.
It's a, you know, it's a vanity thing. I can't get rid of it.
I did see a picture of myself from like, let's call it 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I tried to like recreate the exact angle to see like what had changed in my face. And it was wrinkles. It was,
Isn't it amazing?
It's probably other things too, but it was definitely like wrinkles.
7 years does not seem very long, but for some reason at this age that we're
quick.
At, when I look at when I first had Rome, which was almost eight years ago, oh, so young. How have I aged so much in under 8 years?
Because you had children.
Because I had so many kids.
Yeah.
And so much trauma in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Like literally all my major trauma has pretty much happened in the last like 5 years.
I've been really just, you know,
just condensed it all in. So now I'm trying to repair that trauma, okay, with argan oil.
No, I support you.
Facial.
I support you.
Botox. Mm-hmm. What are you loving?
I support you. I just read a book that I enjoyed.
Oh.
And it was called The Wishing Game. And it's, I think it might be a YA book. I can't, it seems like kind of that genre, mm-hmm. but it was a very, feel good read. And you know how sometimes you just want a feel good read with a happy ending and you just want to live in that movie of a book. That's what it was.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you're reading stuff where you're like, this is heavy or that was depressing or that took too long and I wasn't holding my attention, I recommend The Wishing Game as a nice like palate cleanser.
Was that one of your book club books?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Love it.
Great.
Thank you for sharing.
You're so welcome. Thank you for asking.
And thank you for being here, everyone. Every week. We love it so much. We really love the comments, the reactions, the conversation starters.
Yeah, the voicemails, all of that reaching out to us. Don't ever stop. Yeah. Do more. It's not weird. It's actually totally normal, and we encourage it.
Yeah. And you know what else we'd love is if you just took 10 seconds right now, whether you're on your phone or on your phone, and you open up the app you're listening to this on or watching, and you find the little plus sign or three dots or follow button, and you follow this channel. It really helps support this show.
Yeah. And while you're there, you can also scroll down a little and there's some stars. Just click that fifth star and it automatically gives us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling super generous, you can even go to the part where it says write a review and you just like type something in really quickly. And it just, it's seamless. Mm-hmm. It's really appreciated. And I read a staggering stat that 71% of podcast listeners have never rated or reviewed a podcast ever. And they listen to them and they like them, but they just don't do it.
And I, you know what? Thinking about myself, I definitely follow the podcast shows I like, but rating and reviewing,
How often are you doing it?
No, really never.
It's a good reminder for us
too. It is.
Because I have a lot of podcasts that I love that I could go back and give them a little love in return.
Yeah. So again, if you're like crunched on time, just hit the 5 stars. You don't even have to leave the word review. But if you do have a few minutes, we would really appreciate that.
That we would. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. This podcast was created by Vicky Henry and Michelle Dixon, and our music is by Ariel Levine.
I think we should do a mini trigger warning of just like, just FYI, we start the show talking about...
What are we talking about?
Conjoined twins and brief baby loss.
Okay. Well, first we'll do this.
Okay.